Welcome back to the Life on Target podcast. I am your host, as always, Nathan Spearing. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode on charting a path to personal freedom. I'm really excited about the subject matter of this podcast episode, and it will be a combination of my personal experiences and the way that we are structuring our life as a family, as a household within the community, and also a couple very valuable resources to get your mind thinking bigger, thinking maybe in a way that you haven't thought before about how to live your life, about how to structure things so that you can be free. As you know, that's a very important part of what we talk about here at the Life on Target podcast. We want you to have freedom and agency, the ability to do what you want to do inside of God's order, following his commands, living boldly, living life on target. So last couple podcasts that you guys have listened to actually were all recorded kind of in a batch style. And I was doing that to give myself some runway in the podcast realm so that I could move our family out to our farm. And we have successfully done it. The word my wife used that I think is fitting for our journey out to the land is haphazardly. We have, as you know, if you've been tuning in with us for a little while, have a couple different Airbnbs, short-term rentals. I keep saying Airbnb, but we actually have them on multiple rental property channels, and they are managed and booked on multiple channels, if you will. And so anyway, we had all of them kind of on the calendar. We had one of our properties blocked through mid-March, and the other two properties were kind of churning as normal. And so we had this deadline. We had to be out of our house by March 24th, 2022. So we had a couple months to kind of get our bus finished, our barn up, and everything didn't happen exactly as planned. We got the barn up, but didn't have the roof yet. The metal hadn't come in. We had kind of plumbed the bus, so it was able to have the different fixtures, the kitchen sink, the bathroom sink and shower and toilet and things like that. But we didn't have anywhere for what went down the drains to go because the septic hadn't been installed. Just the way that the industry is right now, everybody's probably experienced it in some way, shape, or form. There's a lot going on. It's hard to get quality labor to show up. And I have them. And in a sense, if you want the right guys to do your work, you have to wait for them. So I was waiting patiently for our septic system. I'm waiting patiently still for our well. We have the power work order in for the utility company to trench power out to the barn. That should be happening here in the next couple days. Anyway, we moved out there. We pulled the bus out there. The toilet wasn't plumbed yet. We didn't have a septic, and we rigged up several things. So I have a water tank out there. We have some solar panels. We have some generators. We got the roof on the barn. So we have, you know, about 2,000 square feet under roof. The bus is parked in there. Generators, water tanks, solar panels, batteries, etc., to run kind of the bare essentials of things. And this is really exciting to me. And I'm really thankful that my wife is going along with this, because in a way, it's an experiment as a family. How is it to live kind of without the modern conveniences? In some ways, it's going to make us appreciate power, being able to just plug in and have electricity. In some ways, it's going to make us tougher. We had a couple cold nights. We had the sleeping bags in there. We're all kind of really close proximity. We have five bunks, a queen size bed, kind of all in the back part of the bunk, the back part of the bus. So it's a kind of a extended camp out until we get power out there. We do have two zone HVAC system in the bus, so it'll be very comfortable once we get power out there. But it's a little bit rustic right now, but the kids are loving it. And actually my two sons didn't even want to sleep in the bus last night. They took their hammocks. They went out and dug a fire pit out in the woods, probably 1,000 feet, 1,500 feet away around the corner. So we couldn't even see them. and set their hammocks up, had a pot out there, warmed up some soup, and just had a good old time. So in a sense, it started out with all five kids kind of going to do it, and then some of the younger ones and my oldest daughter kind of changed her mind about it. And some of that was my wife kind of wanting the younger kids closer. And so anyway, a long story leading up to, but one of the main reasons that we are doing this is we have a heart or a desire to farm, a desire to have a closer relationship with our food so that we are, one, can ensure its quality, because if anybody has watched any of the documentaries or done any kind of research about how food is mass produced, it is not often done in the most ethical ways. It is most often done in ways that are not conducive to your health or nutrition. So the fact that the soil has been overused, so the nutrients are lower, the pesticides, the chemicals, the things that are used in the production of it are not good. And I'm not trying to do a full expose on the food industry, but in a sense, we wanted to turn back the clock in our family towards a family of, you know, pre-industrial revolution or even early 1900s, where it was just kind of a routine thing or a normal thing for families to live rurally, to have some form of food being produced within their household. And the whole shift in mindset for our family kind of started a couple years ago. My wife doing a bunch of different readings on things, me reading Man of the House by C.R. Wiley. We've had him on the podcast. And then another very important one was Durable Trades by Rory Groves, where he did a kind of a study of all the vocations and realizing that my construction business would be in what he calls the secondary sector, which is taking raw goods and making something. But the primary sector being a job or a vocation that takes or grows things directly from the land or from the source. And I kind of was looking at my operation, my businesses, and realized I don't have really much in the primary sector. I was realizing in the construction industry, seeing how much I really am at the mercy of the supply chain. We're waiting on windows, we're waiting on doors, lumber prices are, I can't really control what is happening, because in a sense, that's a commodity. So looking to say, as a means of having personal freedom, how can we move into and start producing within a primary sector of the market? And so farming was kind of a natural thing to look into. I found Joel Salatin, I found Justin Rhodes. We'll link to their websites and the things that they're doing. And it's a lot of fun to watch. And my wife, as we started to kind of consume these documentaries, these different videos that they put out and listen to them, we have a lot in common with them. And we really wanted to move into farming. So we started looking for land, and you know, you guys know the different sagas of the land if you've been around for a while, but we essentially found a plot we wanted. And we pestered the owner until he agreed to sell us 20 acres of that parcel and built a barn. We already had the bus. We were already working on it. So instead of the bus being something where we traveled the U.S. and went to all the national parks and kind of lived 6 months to a year on the road as a family, we just had this desire to be present in our community versus nomadic and to put down roots. And we've talked about that a lot, and we're going to talk about it more. So the bus became this mechanism for us to, before we built the house, kind of start farming, to start working the land, to start to learn where the water goes, how things happen when it rains, and start to plan things out as we design and build our house on the land as well. So we're there, and it's such a relief for me personally to kind of have set that goal. We bought the land in September, I think, August last year. So in a sense, there has been, you know, 6 months plus work to getting out there. We've been shuffling around different Airbnbs and figuring out how to get everything. And what that is doing for us is, in a sense, like I talked about, recording 3 or 4 podcasts, getting some in the queue, having some runway on the podcast perspective. We're trying to create personal runway for our family. And what I want to do in this podcast, this is, you know, 10-minute lead into that particular build up, but to give you that context and to encourage you as where you are in life to do an assessment of your personal runway. And the personal runway is essentially, what are you able to do, or how long are you able to survive without any outside intervention? How long are you able to eat and live without anybody giving you anything? And of course, this has a financial aspect to it, because you have to have money to pay your mortgages, to pay your bills and utilities. But in a sense, if you think about it too, some of that will, you know, potentially not be a factor if there's disruption. Because as we see, the world is trending towards more centralization. And I'm okay with that. I'm not okay with it actually happening, but I know that if, like any of you out there that have read history, that as we trend towards centralization, things stop working as well. It's impossible to control what is going on and to figure out and to run these extremely complex systems as the government or as these corporations. Inefficiency happens. Inefficiency and an inability to control and provide it at a cheaper price. And that creates opportunity for industrious people and enterprises to give things at a cheaper rate. And there's going to be ebb and flow with regulation, with government overreach, and we've seen tons of that. But I want to encourage you as a individual and as potentially a head of household or a member of a family in a community to assess, how long could you survive if just you couldn't go fill up your gas, you couldn't go to the ATM and get cash out, you didn't have power? Or, you know, because even this is not as a zombie apocalypse setup, but we see many times in with the ice storm in Texas with hurricanes and things. And I responded to Hurricane Maria as a contractor for AT&T and doing security work down there in Puerto Rico, that I saw societies, all the major things become disrupted because of storms. Now, this is relatively isolated, typically geographically, but you see that the way that the weather works, that affects different areas, ice, flooding, storms. So from that perspective, and I've talked about this on social media a little bit, I view those times as a chance to say, okay, what was I short on? Did I need to run down and get gas? Was I able to pull the generator out? And we recently had a bunch of trees fall down in Southern Pines and take out a bunch of utilities, and really there's a lot of above ground utilities that kind of have a very weird path. So it took the utility company 5 to 6 days to get things back online. And we had 30 to 40 chickens in a freezer at a property that didn't have power. And that's a lot of food that we actually raised from chicks and slaughtered ourselves. So I had an incentive that not get destroyed or go bad. And this was the first time we had a storm like that I didn't have to go anywhere. I had a good sized can of ethanol free gas. I had a generator, had extension cords. I had rope systems to be able to clear limbs away. Our land's driveway was blocked by 4 or 5 trees that had got that iced and fell over. So we couldn't even get a vehicle back. So the ability to go in, cut trees, move them out of the way, having the gas that we needed on hand. Now, gas wasn't disrupted. There was places in other parts of the city you could go. But in a sense, I was able to do this analysis and say, how much do I need right now to survive a couple of days? And I'd encourage you to take some time, sit down with your wife or your husband or, you know, your kids or whatever, and just do an assessment of, could we last 2 weeks? Could we last a month? Could we last 6 months without any intervention in the sense of trying to have to go somewhere to get food? And this isn't in a panic state to be, because you think the world is ending and we're going to be brought into the, you know, the Terminator age or whatever. Not saying that. I'm just saying that you do that because what that gives you is the ability to live boldly in other areas of your life. In a sense, if you have this plan, this ability to provide food for yourself, to go long periods of time without having gas, you know, a couple gas cans that you just kind of routinely are you're using in your car, but you're filling up and they're staying fresh. So you have that, a generator, having a couple solar panels, some batteries, you know, this stuff with the bus, having a couple solar panels, a couple batteries that we can run lights, we can run water pump, we can run the water heater. We have some propane. It's these different utilities, these different things that you can have on hand to allow you self-sufficiency or at least extend the amount of time required to have intervention from the outside. And a lot of these ideas and things were sparked by a Tim Ferriss podcast with Balaji. I wasn't even going to try to say his last name, but I'm going to link it in the show notes on our website. And I'd encourage you to listen to it. It's Tim Ferriss' podcast. It's really long, but he talks about, you know, cryptocurrency, how to become non-cancelable, the path to personal freedom and wealth in the new world and changing landscape of warfare and all this. It's just a really, you know, they go all over the place, and some of the stuff that they enter into is kind of cringeworthy or just makes you kind of, but nonetheless, two really smart people, Tim Ferriss being the host and Balaji being a thoughtful technology guy and understanding things and looking at things from a different way. So I'd encourage you to go listen to that. And that one of the things that he talks about is reducing personal overhead is often a lot quicker way than increasing your margin or your amount of return. So I'm a fan of you increasing your earnings, 10xing, you know, 50xing what you're earning right now, in a sense, to not to become rich and to hoard it and to think that your security is in money, but so that you can be industrious, you can use the talents that you've been given by God to affect ends that you feel he's called you to affect. And, you know, other things like how to have food, and he talks about decentralization just being the key to things. So in a sense, families are the ultimate decentralized institution in society, and that you taking these steps to make your family free, to have a little bit ability to, and the thing is, and I talked about this, I've had an interview with Rory Groves that'll be published here shortly. Just take some time and pray about it. What is God calling you to do? What has God given you a vision for? If you don't have a vision for something, and we're going to talk about this in the next episode too, about having a 100-year plan, but have a vision, a long-term vision, and then start executing towards that long-term vision today, one step at a time. And so the micro aspect of that is, what is my personal runway? What am I able to do right now to make myself more self-sufficient, to have more margin to provide for utilities, food, and having a financial buffer so that you're not cancelable. You're free to then, out of that margin, out of that safety buffer, out of that safety net, out of that personal runway, go for that audacious vision that the Lord has given you. And that's what we've done. We've moved to the farm. We have 3 Airbnbs making us money. We potentially are selling one to reduce some of our debt and have a higher liquidity position to be able to actually build the farm out faster, potentially build our house. So we're looking at shifting things around. C.R. Wiley talked about that in the last episode. We interviewed him. where he talks about just reducing your debt, reducing how much the liabilities that you have in your life and extending that personal runway. So hope that was informative. Hope that gave you some things to chew on. And tune into social media as well on Instagram. You can see all our social handles in the header of our website, spearing.co. Also the show notes for this, the links to that podcast I talked about. So if you got value from this episode, if it made you think in any way, share it with one friend, just send them a message or post on social media, link it to us, tag us at The Spearing on Instagram. And let's get the discussion going and let's move many of our friends and family into a life with more personal runway and more personal freedom. I'll talk to you next time. Have a good one.